bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
A voice that you're about to hear, Will Hagen, for those of you who listen to Tony Delroy.
He's on Nightline on ABC local radio across the country.
Across the country. Will Hagen is, he's been writing about cars, driving cars, passionate about cars all his life, and along with his son Toby, he's written a book about Holden, which has just been released. It's Pan Macmillan, I think, and what a fascinating subject, because it deals with the history of the brand, the importance of the brand, where they've been, where they're going, lots of personal stories, lots of interesting facts that you perhaps didn't know about Holden. Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Macca.
Very good. Now, it's not usual that you're on the other end of the microphone, is it?
To me, you've just summarised the whole thing, so I can go.
You can go.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Will Hagen. Thank you very much.
Very good rap, you know.
Hey, Will, a quick question before we get onto the book. Tony Delroy, after what seems like a lifetime on radio, has announced his retirement. He's going this month.
He's gone. It was last night, early this morning. At 2 a.m. he finished.
Yep. It's quite an innings, isn't it, that he's had?
It really is. To do 4 hours a night, 5 nights a week, and it really only takes annual holidays. He doesn't take any through the year, and he's done it for 26 years. And actually, I've been with him doing the motoring side for, none of us know exactly, but it's about 23 years.
I was going to say, wow. You've preempted my discussion, because I know it's been a long time. I've been a regular listener. I'm a bit of an insomniac. So I was curious how long you'd been with him. It's quite a relationship you two have had.
What happened, I was doing something else and things were going awry at this radio station, and I said it was time to finish there, and Tony called me and went in, and away we went. And we've got on marvellously well. I love radio. He's a top broadcaster. The whole thing's been just terrific.
And you don't seem to miss a beat. There's a wonderful symbiotic relationship between the two of you. It's been quite a fascinating, for a period of time on radio of that long, it's been quite a fascinating journey for both of you.
Well, Tony's good. I mean, I can prattle on for ages, and suddenly you look across the desk and you get the message, if you finish in the next 20 seconds, that'd be good, you know? And we've got that sort of understanding, and he knows how to pace things, and if we're going off the track a little bit or whatever, and he's terrific with listeners. Look, he's just had a great feel about what's needed. In fact, he went to them, and they were closing down at midnight back in the days when he started there, and he went upstairs and said to them, well, this is what I'd do with that program, and that was literally about Wednesday or Thursday, and they said, could you start on Monday?
Yeah.
And it's gone from there.
It's gone
on.
And
it went from 2 hours to 4 hours, and it went from a few stations ultimately to nationally.
Fantastic. Now, Will, this book... So you've written it with your son, Toby, and Holden, you know, people regard it as Australia's own car. It was 1948, the 48-215 in November.
That's right. Yeah.
Launched by Ben Chifley. And a car, you know, that has been such a part of Australia. At one point, they had nearly 60% of the market with that brand. Local production finishes in November next year. Just basically, short of, what would it be, short of 60 years. What is, for you writing this book, this must have been a bit of a labour of love and quite difficult, because...
Well, firstly, Macca, to be fair, it was Toby writing it with me. Helping because...
Oh, come on, we want to give you the garland, Will.
I don't want to grab any undue glory. And it was done, too, with a guy that Toby had known as kids around where he lived at the time. And I think the whole combination has worked really well to do justice to, as you say, Macca, a brand that's become synonymous with an Australian car. But the interesting thing, and you say, you know, they had 50%, nearly 60% of the market at one stage. They had that back in the 1920s when they were putting bodies on cars, when in 1917 the federal government, because of the war and the difficulty of transporting stuff and so on, said we can't bring in fully assembled cars. So they were bringing in chassis, and Holden Motor Body Works were putting bodies on both General Motors cars or chassis, but also other brands as well. And they had about half the market then, and that's what attracted General Motors to make Holden Motor Body Works, or Motor Body Builders, one of GM's first acquisitions in the world when they bought into it in 1931.
Now, Will, you know, there are so many iconic Holdens. You know, most people think of the FJ.
Commodore.
The EHS, the Commodore, the Tirana. You know, there's the motorsport history. How sad are you that a car, and particularly the full-sized Holden, that has been such a feature of the Australian landscape, of Australian families, of Australian commerce, you know, since 1948, is going to disappear, gone?
It's a very sad moment for Australia, and when I was bemoaning it a while ago with another motoring journo, and we were actually at Everleigh Railway Workshops at near Redfern in Sydney, where once upon a time, Macca, 4,500 people worked making everything to do with trains, including steam locomotives. And somebody said to me, if you broke a pair of pliers there, you didn't go out and buy a pair, you made another pair. You could do anything there. And this journo said, yeah, but once upon a time we made steam locomotives. So it's just a changing thing. Look, I'm awfully sad about it because it's much wider than just Holden or Ford or a six-cylinder or an eight-cylinder car or something. It's a whole industry of people and knowledge and training that's going in terms of manufacturing. And that's very sad for the country. Much wider than just, you know, whether you buy a Holden or a Ford or whatever you do buy.
Yeah.
So I'm awfully sad about that. But honestly, Macca, and you know, you've been on my side of the fence too in journalism, you just, how do we get around it? What's the solution? And I just think it's the way things have changed in the world, and it's an inevitable result.
Yeah.
Well, this book actually charts 161 years, if my math is correct, from 1856 to 2017. Were there any surprises for you and Toby in putting this together? Was there a moment when you sort of thought, oh, I didn't know that? That's an interesting thing to learn.
There is a lot of interesting stuff about the particular people, but in terms of what we were trying to do over such a broad sweep of activity and, you know, what the company had done and the things it had done. I mean, it was involved in an overland telegraph line from Adelaide up to Darwin back in the 19th century. So some of the diverse things it did was interesting. I had a phone call the other night in a program I was doing, and somebody said, well, you haven't mentioned, he said, I've got out in the kitchen a Frigidaire.
Yes.
Refrigerator.
Wow. Yep.
And it's still working wonderfully well, and Holden made them at one stage, you know. So, surprises? Not surprises so much, Peter, as just the delight in understanding fully what the designers, the engineers, and the car company senior management was able to achieve Australians by learning it down here and having probably a much broader sweep in what they did and the way that they controlled what they'd done. You know, the designers, for instance, if they were in Detroit, they did a design and they signed it off and then they went on to the next one. Down in Australia, they'd be going to the factory and talking to the production people and so on about perhaps solving a problem or what they were aiming for or whatever. And it's this sort of infusion and spread of skills that I saw when I was working with British Leyland stroke Leyland Australia that has made us world competitive. And that's what I love about what the local industry has achieved.
Now, Holden has been very cooperative with you in terms of this book, and that's not always the way with a corporate when you're writing a book about them. you know, some of the, you know, they've made people available. There's pictures, you know, there's some commentary. It's not always the case, is it, Will?
No, it's not. And they've been very good in that, in the sense that it was not done in conjunction with them.
Mm.
It was done about them and, hey, could you help us, please, with contacting this person or getting these pictures or whatever? And they had no knowledge of what the tone of the book was going to be, and there's one particular aspect of it that they don't particularly like. They think it's been trumped up a little bit. But overall, they sat back and said, all right, you're doing this, we'll do what we can to help, and that's great.
Well, I'm curious. I came across some information earlier this week. There's a charcoal brand that's launched in Australia selling barbecue charcoal.
Right.
And this company was started by Henry Ford using the offcuts from the wooden bodies that he made for cars and decided to create these briquettes with the wooden offcuts. How many industries do you think would have spawned from the creation of Holden Motor Cars? I had no idea that's where this charcoal company came from. So yeah, I'm curious. Are there other stories similar to this that we might not be aware of that we could find in the book as well?
There's not one like that, but what does come out of it, of course, is that there's hundreds of other companies that supply car companies with the various bits and pieces that go into their vehicles, and they often supply other parts of industry. You know, people are probably surprised, but we're quite strong still in building vehicles, some Defence Force vehicles, in building some parts for aircraft in Australia and so on. But a lot of those people have done their initial training at car companies and gone to things like the technical colleges in Melbourne and Sydney and so on, which are tending to scale down now, and that's what frightens me about it. But Henry Ford was probably the master of looking around and saying, all right, well, now what can we do with that stuff? I don't just want to tip it in a bin or return it to them. Because there was the old story, of course, of somebody who was making a massive number of parts for Ford. And he said, no, look, that's fine, but could you put them in a crate that is this size and shape? And when the guy said, yeah, absolutely, Mr. Ford, for the numbers you're buying, I'll do anything. And allegedly, the guy discovered that the crate was being recycled as floorboards for the T models.
Oh, yes, Henry was pretty cunning there. Look, well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for you and Toby and others for putting this book together. Thank you to Holden for cooperating so closely with you. It's an important part of Australia's history. Holden still continues as a brand, as an importer only, but such an important part of Australia. And Will, you've been a journalist involved in the industry for so long, I actually can't imagine the industry without you. There you go.
You're very kind, and you're right, it is an important part of Australia, Macca, and thank you for your interest. Lovely to be with you.
And it's good to hear your voice in the daylight, Will. That's what I can say.
Thank you, Peter.
All the best to you.
Thanks very much. That was Will Hagen, and interestingly, for those of you who don't know, yes, he did work for British Leyland or Leyland Australia. He actually launched the P-76.
Well, there you go.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.